Test Talks, episode 12.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
12. Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com, and I'm excited to be talking today with Mike Giller. Mike is an engineer at SmartBear, makers of some really cool test and performance tools like SOAP UI, Test Complete, and Load UI Pro, and a bunch more. Today, we're going to be talking about SOAP UI. So if you're new to API testing or SOAP UI, you don't want to miss this episode. Check it out. Hey, Mike. Welcome to Test Talks. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Good. Glad to be here.
Great. So before we get started, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Absolutely. I'm a technical sales engineer here with SOAP UI with SmartBear. I do work with SOAP UI primarily, so I assist our sales team, our marketing team, and of course our end users who are looking at SOAP UI as far as finding the right features for their fit, for their needs. Pretty active in the API community, trying to make sure that also I provide feedback back to the product owner and making sure that we solve the problem for people who work with APIs.
Let's keep it really basic to start with. For someone that's not aware, what is SOAP UI?
So SOAP UI is basically used to access web services. That's probably how most of our users, especially in the open source community, use SOAP UI. But really, it's a fully featured, almost enterprise tool that can automate your tests, validate them. With SOAP UI Pro, you can create reporting, you can add it into a continuous integration environment, you can mock up web services. So I know you said keep it real simple, but we definitely have a lot of power users who expanded that quite a bit.
Great. Now I know there's two versions, I believe, of SOAP UI. You have an open source version and a pro version.
Correct.
What's the difference between the two? What are the main differences?
The main differences are the features, and especially around usability. So with pro versions, there's more than a handful of features. There's a 12 reasons to go pro article that's easy to find that talks about 12 top reasons. But to me, I find that typically people who do data-driven testing, so accessing data at a database level from an Excel file, that's something that's very easy to configure in pro and something that would probably require scripting in open source. Point-and-click testing, so it's basically a feature where with the click of a button, you can find the XML element with XPath or JSON element with JSONPath that we're about to roll out in version 5.1. Creation of that XPath and JSONPath is very easy. Creation of reports, readable reports, is a huge pro feature. There's editors that represent XML and JSON structures in a much more readable way. Those typically are the top reasons to go pro, but there's a lot of secondary reasons that are sometimes as important.
Great. So I just want to touch on that a little bit more. Now, I know the pricing is usually very reasonable. I don't know if you could talk about pricing, but compared to another tool, say, I don't know, HP, it's there's a big difference from the pricing I've seen from SOAP UI Pro. So can you give us an idea for how much SOAP UI Pro would cost?
Yeah, absolutely. So for a standard license currently, the MSRP is $449 per user. A term license for 1 year, 2-3 years, you can get substantial discounts as well.
Great. Now, I know other products have a concurrent user license. Does SOAP UI have anything like that?
We do. We have a floating user license. And as you mentioned, it's exactly that. It's concurrency. It's also something that people pretty much have to use when using virtual environments or something like a Citrix environment, because our standard license ties SOAP UI Pro to a machine. Whereas with a floating license with concurrency, we don't really care where SOAP UI Pro is used, just the fact that it is used. And it's not used more than by one person at one time for one license.
And I just want to remind everyone that we are talking about the pro version, but once again, there is a free open source version of SOAP UI. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles of SOAP UI Pro, but it's still a great tool. It's mainly what I use. But if you're really serious about testing web services, then you probably want to look at the SOAP UI Pro version and upgrade to that if it's something you use every day. So I'm like, I know the name of the tool is Soap UI, but are there any other uses, any other types of technology you can test with Soap UI?
So there's some other API tests. It's definitely used quite a bit for SOAP testing and now more and more for REST testing. So that's something that we focused on quite a bit starting in version 4.6 and going into the current version 5.0 is improving the ease of use in REST web service testing. So at the moment, I believe that our REST testing feature is almost as fully built out as SOAP. But in addition to that, you can connect to any database via JDBC driver. You can do some JMS testing. There's definitely more than a handful of people using SOAP UI for testing JMS and message queues. And likewise, some people also use it for AMF testing. And I've really seen people use, it was ISO 8583 messages. So that's something that our users use it for. And XML RPC messages, APIs.
Awesome. No, I noticed there was a lot of new development going on with SOAP UI. And like you said, the latest version is SOAP UI 5. And it seems to be most of the new features are around REST services. Is there a reason for that? Do you see a big demand now for REST services over web services? Or are we just trying to build out the functionality more of SOAP UI?
It's definitely a little bit of both. And one thing, just even outside of the product, is I'm starting to get more and more involved in API conferences and API communities. And if you listen to those communities, you know, all the big people in the API conferences kind of almost dismiss SOAP web services as a thing of the past. And, for reasons that it's bulkier, the messages contain more memory, it's, something that's been around for too long. And they see REST as just more kind of malleable, more easy to configure and work with. It definitely still has a lot of challenges because it doesn't have as many standards. So for example, WSDL, a lot of people say like, oh, you're required a WSDL, that's a negative. In many cases, it's not, it's a positive. In some cases, of course, it is a negative. And in REST, they're still trying to figure out certain standards as far as describing APIs and finding and kind of traversing APIs as well. But a good REST integration, typically, something a lot easier to set up than a decent SOAP integration. So sorry to make the answer very long, but it's definitely something that we see more in the community, just having more focused in REST. And that's something that we focused in SOAP UI development as well, is making sure that these users can test REST web services with SOAP UI.
I've seen a lot more demand for REST services over web services. So I was just curious to know your opinion on that. So that's great. So with SOAP UI 5, are there any new features that make testing REST services easier?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The biggest one is called REST Discovery. I like to refer to it as API Discovery. And as I mentioned, currently REST web services don't have a descriptor. So typically, if you're given a REST service, you're said, hey, it exists. How does it work, etc.? It's very common to not get that information. So if there is some sort of a descriptor, we in SOAP UI can consume it. So if there's a WADL, we can consume it. If there's a RAML or Swagger, we have plugins such that we can read in the descriptor and understand how the API is designed and how it expects input fields and how it'll provide the response fields. We're also working on a plugin for API Blueprint. So that plugin should be available shortly as well. But really, again, in most of my real live interactions, in 80 to 90% of the time, people don't have any description. So they just say, hey, there's a REST web service and it exists. But of course, with a web service, you need a web service client. So in the case where you have a web service and a web service client, SOAP UI Pro version 5.0 has a feature of REST Discovery where we can set up a listener either on a proxy or even within SOAP UI Pro itself. If your web service client is a website, you as a user can browse to the website, capture that traffic, filter it by either content type or domains to just the API traffic. And then based on that, you can build out your automated test case, right? So no longer do you have to kind of figure out how the API is structured and then build the requests based on that structure. You can actually generate traffic by user actions, right? So by typing on your iPhone and then having that traffic go through SOAP UI proxy, we can say, oh, so your iPhone is sending this message. Let's capture that message and automatically build a step out of that. So that's the biggest feature we've released in 5.0. There's some other features such as support for OAuth authorization, OAuth 2.0. That's definitely something that has been around for a while, and we put that in to meet the market needs. And there's another very, very important feature of REST mocking, which actually works well with REST discovery. When we capture the HTTP requests, we can also capture the HTTP responses. And based on that, we can create a virtualized web service. So that's a huge new feature we rolled out in 5.0.
You touched upon a mock service. For people that don't know, what is a mock service and why would you use one?
Yeah, absolutely. So a mock service, that's something that we've done for SOAP web services and that for many versions now. And that's something that we're starting to do for REST web services as well. So a mock service is kind of it can be a dummy web service that you typically would stand up on your machine. But think of it more as a prototype. Okay, so for testers and QA people, it's very often used when you have your requirements and you know how the web service is going to work. So kind of going back to the SOAP world, you may have a WSDL web service descriptor before you have a web service. So out of that descriptor, we in SOAP UI can stand up a mock service and you can start writing tests against the mock service. And your developers can, at the same time as you are writing tests, develop a real web service. And as soon as it's developed, you know, typically it's a week before go live, you already have tests, so you don't have to scramble that week writing tests as well as running tests. But you can just repoint your existing tests from a mock service to a real one, and then you're basically good to go. Another common scenario is based on third-party dependencies. So say, for example, you have an application or an API that integrates with some other API that you have no control over. So for example, say your product integrates with Salesforce, right? And for example, that integration may charge you for every call to that API. You may just be able to capture the responses that come back from that application, stand up a mock service, and then have your test environment point to the mock service so that you don't have to pay to a third party for testing your own environment in dev and test servers and environments. So that's another common use for the mock service.
Cool, very cool. So I just want to mention that I know there's a presentation that you tweeted out recently that actually goes over some of this. So if someone's having a hard time following, I will put that in the show notes so they can check it out. They'll probably get more information that way because it was a pretty good presentation you gave on some of these things that we touched upon.
Appreciate it.
For someone that's new to API testing or web service testing, can you tell us what's different? What are the main differences are when you test a UI compared to a headless type test?
Yeah, sure. And this is something that is a bit of a misnomer that I find, that people who approach headless type tests, such as APIs, SOA, the service-oriented architecture, they oftentimes don't understand it. Someone even, you know, on one of my calls said, hey, isn't all this just an HTTP call and capturing a response? And when they said that, I almost lost it. Almost. But basically, no, it's not. It's your web service and your service-oriented architecture is your logic. It's whatever you provide, either, you know, data behind the scenes or some sort of operations behind the scenes, something that you provide, you just serve it via web services. So instead of clicking a button and having it presented in a browser, there's an operation that may happen behind the scenes, but the logic should still be the same. So the request and the parameters should somehow be sent into your API, and then that important and vital data needs to be returned. The one common thread between testing something tangible with a UI, such as a website or an application or an app, mobile app, and testing an API, you should still be thinking of it as a user. What am I trying to achieve? What kind of data is important to me that I'm trying to get out of this application? But as far as your approach, stop thinking so much about, like, well, maybe this button is off center, so that's a bug. It's not even a concept in APIs. You know, it's all about parameters. So if some parameter name maybe is not what you think it is, you know, that could be a bug, but it's, there's no UI component to it.
Great. What I really like about API testing is it's a lot faster and quicker. So you can write a larger test suite that when you run it in CI, it'll run quicker and you'll get quicker feedback. So I don't know if you agree with this approach. If you have a UI that's consuming a web service, you may have like one test that tests the end-to-end UI test, but since all the business logic may be in that web service, you can go under one level and test this headless way, which would be a lot quicker and more reliable. I think in my experience, a lot more different, maybe boundary test. And
no, absolutely. And to even kind of add even more to your point is, you know, very times, like you said, there's layers and there's the web service and the architecture layer kind of as a base, right? And then a graphic layer on top. You could be testing a website, you could be testing a mobile app, you could be testing something within, you know, like an Xbox app, your PlayStation app, like it could be a different app, but it's still using the same API and logic. So when you're testing your API, you're testing that base layer. And typically, that's where you don't want problems to happen. You know, if a user sees a button that's off by an inch, they can still use an application. But if they make a call and that data that's important to them doesn't come back, that application is broken. So to me, you know, as you said, it's a lot more kind of black and white. And if it's broken, it's really broken.
I guess what drives me crazy is sometimes I get resistance saying, well, you're not really testing the application because you're not testing the UI. Sometimes hard to get that concept through that the UI is consuming the web service. That is your business logic. If that business logic is working, I mean, what are the chances of the browser not rendering the results correctly? I think it's pretty small.
Right. And that's actually another very, very common use case to SOAP UI. And prior to me joining SmartBear, I've definitely been a user of SOAP UI. And this is exactly when I used it, when I would integrate a web service into my website. And when something broke, just knowing whether a web service was still working or not saved me tons of debugging time, right? Because if something breaks, you don't know if it's the website, the integration with the web service, or the web service itself. And when you're testing the web service itself, knowing is more than half the battle. It'll restrict your problem area to at least a third of what you're looking at.
That's a great tip. I never even thought about that, but I definitely agree that would save you someone a lot of time. So excellent tip. So are there any resources or books you would recommend to someone to help them learn API testing or REST testing?
Joe, great question. One thing I would really, really recommend is the API Testing Dojo. So that's a resource that is off the SOAP UI page, but it's really tool agnostic. So whether you choose SOAP UI, whether you choose another tool, whether you choose to write your own custom scripts, that API Testing Dojo is a really great resource for people who want to test APIs. It talks about best practices, such as how to structure your tests, how to get the functional tests going, how to then, you know, go to like level two with performance testing, how to get into mocking and when that applies, understanding different types and versions of APIs, maybe even going into security vulnerability that maybe something involves. There's testing cutters, which will help you approach the tests themselves. So you can do kind of basic tests, negative tests, etc., boundary tests. So really the API Testing Dojo would be the best resource for approaching API testing to begin with. Of course, I would recommend SOAP UI, and in using SOAP UI and getting that applied in SOAPUI.org is a great resource for tutorials as well.
Awesome. So I'll also have those links within the show notes for this episode so people can get to it. Sounds like a great resource. Is there one thing you see over and over again in your experience that most people creating API tests are doing wrong?
I think a lot of the times people approach API tests with kind of their own ideas. And the one thing that is recurring all the time is people try to just custom write tests and put their ideas into how this would work. So really, I think that's a wrong approach, because typically I find that the developers who would write an API would see one way how that can be consumed, and they don't really think of it as, you know, other developers with different languages, different approaches, who would try to consume their API. So their tests would really be constrained to how they picture it. They don't really focus on what we call developer experience. So basically, given your API to other developer and just that, can you integrate with it? You know, most of the time, people can't clear their mind and really get in and integrate with their API because they have that background knowledge. Another common thing is kind of writing stuff in-house, because then you're bounded and constrained to a language that you're very familiar with. And, you know, you, Joe, you probably know very well, like Java and Microsoft, there are different beasts, and then you throw in, you know, Python, PHP, Ruby on Rails, they all behave differently. So maybe trying that in more than one language would also be a great approach if you are deciding to go custom. But if you're not, you know, really looking at the tool and the best practices provided with the tool is usually great as well for testing APIs.
One thing I get asked a lot on my blog is there a way to programmatically develop SOAP UI scripts within, say, Java or .NET?
There's some integration in SOAP UI to develop web service clients with Java, .NET, and other tools. But really, that's, you know, that's not really tests. And that's actually another thing that I was going to complain about, but I had too much to complain about to begin with, is, you know, sometimes people just develop a web service client and they test that that works. Whereas, you know, sometimes people just want to consume an API directly and then the web service client is completely out the window. But yeah, I mean, the only thing we have is the tools to help you develop web service clients. But otherwise, if you create a test case in SOAP UI, it is in SOAP UI. I mean, the good thing is everything can be automated, but if you want to either port it or import things into SOAP UI, typically you would have to go back to the HTTP traffic level, and you either generate HTTP traffic from SOAP UI and then capture it elsewhere, or the opposite. You generate the HTTP traffic from elsewhere and then capture it in SOAP UI with REST discovery functionality.
We do behavior-driven development. So we write it within Java. So developers write in Java. So it's hard to get them to use another tool like SOAP UI. So what they end up doing is they're writing all this code on their own to be able to consume a service and be able to parse it. It's all this functionality that's already in SOAP UI, which they'll never be as good as SOAP UI. So maybe one way to get around that is, like you said, there's ways to some commands that you can invoke SOAP UI to run the test from within another language.
Right. And behavior-driven development is definitely very, very big, you know, given the whole Gherkin, the given when then model, you know, is definitely very important. I know SOAP UI doesn't quite comply to it, but we had a Meet UI conference last year over in Stockholm that, unfortunately, I didn't attend, but I watched the presentations. And there's a guy, Per Ackerberg. He gave a great, great presentation on how to conform SOAP UI tests to the BDD framework. So we have a post as well on Smart Bear blog regarding that. But basically, he changes like the test case names for, you know, for the whole given when then framework, the assertion names, and then just the way it's displayed. It's much more native to someone who's very used to BDD. So I know it's not ideal, but it, you know, it's a great research that Per has done, and that's something that, you know, I'll make sure you have, Joe, and that you can share with the listeners as well.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I definitely want to check that out. So that brings up a good point. If someone needs to customize SOAP UI, say it doesn't have some functionality that it needs, what programming language can you use to do that within SOAP UI?
Sure, great question. So SOAP UI is written in Java, so SOAP UI Pro. And out of that, we actually have a very good customization components and pieces that you can customize. By default, we prefer using a JavaScripting language called Groovy. It's very, very intuitive, very easy to learn. There is an option at a project level that allows you to use JavaScript. And a lot of people say, hey, I coded websites, I know JavaScript. It's not the same JavaScript as a web server client-side JavaScript. It's actually kind of a Rhino engine JavaScript. So it's a little bit different. And we find that Groovy is just a lot easier to learn. You can still use the same Java objects. You can use external Java libraries if you want. And there's many places to put that in SOAP UI. So you can have a Groovy script step, which can be an intermediary step within your test case. You can have an event. So for example, anytime request call a SOAP web service or a REST web service, we can do something. Like we can inject the HTTP header. We can change a request value. So that can be done at event level. You can do like start and teardown scripts. So anytime, for example, you finish running a test case, you can run a teardown script that would clear your environment and reset it for the next test. So there's really many components in SOAP UI that where you can put in code and customize.
So HP has a product called Quality Center ALM, where you're able to share your script easily and store your scripts. Does SmartBear have a similar solution for the SOAP UI scripts?
SmartBear does not, but we do have an integration brought by Agile Testware called Dragonfly. So that's a plugin that is developed by Agile Testware, and that lets SOAP UI integrate with HP's ALM solution. So I think that goes, you know, all the way back to HP Quality Center 9, all the way up to the rebranded HP ALM. But really, that would be that Dragonfly plugin.
So Mike, I almost forgot to ask you about performance testing. So we have our SOAP UI tests, we have a place to store them. Now, is there a way we can leverage our SOAP UI test to actually do performance tests for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a sister product called LoadUI, and you can use test cases created in SOAP UI, in SOAP UI project, import them in LoadUI with a SOAP UI component in LoadUI, and then spin up a load test. You can spin up a load test, a stress test, and then see how your APIs would perform in a real life type scenario where you have more than just one user hitting your API at the same time. So with LoadUI, you know, you can definitely do that. With LoadUI Pro, we have a lot of very advanced features such as application server monitoring. So as you're hitting your APIs, you can monitor the CPU, your memory, your databases on the application server side to see exactly what is causing a bottleneck. You can spin up different distributions so that you're not just creating tests from maybe 2 feet away from your machine, which isn't the real load test, but you can actually have a LoadUI agent across the world, maybe spun up in the cloud. We have an integration with Amazon EC2 instance where with the click of a button, you can spin up a cloud instance anywhere in the world and then generate your load from there. So if, for example, you're in the States but developing for the European market, you can spin up an instance in Europe and see how your APIs will behave to users in Europe. So really, I would recommend LoadUI Pro for using SOAP UI tests in performance testing.
Cool. So Mike, before we go, what is one piece of actionable advice you can give someone to improve their API automation efforts, and let us know the best way to contact you?
The very best advice with automation is Google SOAP UI automation, and you'll find information where you can use SOAP UI's provided script called Test Runner. And also within SOAP UI itself, we have a wizard GUI graphic utility that lets you build parameters for this Test Runner script. And that's an easy way to automate test case runs. And then out of that, in SOAP UI Pro, you can easily generate reports. So a common use case would be to generate the test case runner parameters such that you run specific test cases or test suites in SOAP UI, generate reports maybe in JUnit format, which can be HTML or XML so that it's parsable, or even do some data export in XML or CSV. And then you can export that data, and you can typically have another CI tool such as Jenkins, Hudson, Bamboo parse it, figure out if something failed. And if it did, then raise an alert to developers and to your maybe DevOps organization. So that's fairly easy to do with Test Runner in SOAP UI to integrate with other CI tools. So that is really the best tip. As far as contacting me specifically, so I do assist sales. And one thing I would really recommend is having a look at SOAP UI Pro. We do have a 2-week trial where you can download a trial key and have the full Pro functionality available to you for 2 weeks. We will have an account rep reach out to you from SmartBear. They're all great guys that I work with, you know, very personable as well. So it's a trial, you know, for you to try. If you don't like it, tell them no. With the sales guys, they actually love hearing no if you don't like it. Provide feedback to us why you didn't like it. We'll take that in stride and try to better our product based on that. The sales guys will also know not to reach out to you. Saying no is much better than going dark. So, you know, that's something that a lot of people aren't aware of. But then, you know, if you have very technical questions, the sales guys will loop myself or other technical resources in and will provide the answers, will provide the best practices and the needed functionality within the tool as well, within SOAP UI Pro.
Awesome. Thanks for a great talk, Mike. And I just want to thank SmartBear for giving you the time to have this talk with us today.
Thanks again, Joe.
Thank you for joining me on Test Talks. And remember, you can find the links to everything of value that we talked about today in the show notes at www.testtalks/12. And as always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.